Our Lord is telling us here that bring about the kingdom of God, or to allow the Holy Spirit to bring about this kingdom of God within us and around us, requires suffering. And he takes a very beautiful and obvious parable about a woman about to give birth. But there's more behind that parable. In the prophetic literature of Israel, now in the Old Testament for us, very often the image of the suffering coming on the people, its difficulty, its suddenness, and so forth, birth pangs that come upon a woman. And it's very, very common. Now, when the editors of the prophetic works got together, the work that they were going to work on, they often alternated prophecies of pain and destruction with prophecies of restoration. So many times now and for centuries, as Israel read the scriptures, the prophecy about the woman, the suffering of the people being like a woman in labor, is followed by a prophecy of joy, restoration, and so forth. And so, by rabbinic times, there was a whole phrase in this regard called the Havlei Shel HaMashiach, the birth pangs of the Messiah. To bring the Messiah into the world is going to cost. And that underlies this this text as well, you see. As well as the fact that the image is used in apostolic preaching. Paul says, I am in the pains of childbirth again until Christ be formed in you. So, all of this is pointing to a mystery of life-giving pain. Behind that still, we won't get that far this morning, is the woman in Revelation who cries out in pain and gives birth to the man-child who is to rule the world with a rod of iron. And the dragon tries to kill him. And he's caught up into heaven. It's probably descriptive of Mary's pain at the cross, where she shared with Jesus' pain and brought life into the world in and under him. But we could ask ourselves, why today, as we're getting ready for Pentecost, would the church give us this text? It's true, it follows right on the text we had yesterday, which gets ready for this. Well, let's try to look at this. These mysteries go on and on and on. They are abiding realities in the life of the church until the Lord comes and ends history. And then all the pain of the martyrs, all the pain of the saints, all the pain of the parents who prayed for years for their children, all of that will be transformed into joy. And the whole body of Christ will be glorious, glorious, filled with unending joy forever. God will wipe away every tear. Where are we now? We are still in this age, we, the church, now, in the age of bringing Christ to birth in this world. And it's going to cost. It's going to cost. Now, some are called to have it really cost. They go preach where they're going to know they're going to get killed. Or they give themselves to the Lord as a person in whom the whole mystery of Christ's suffering and life-giving pain can be relived. Thinking right now of Marthe Robin. I don't know if you ever... She just died a few years ago. She was a French woman and loved the Lord. And She got sick. Then pretty soon, she lived only on the Eucharist. And then she got the stigmata, and suffered this particularly on Fridays and on the, you know, on Good Friday. But she ate nothing, lived on the Eucharist. She just died 8 or 10 years ago at most. And she was a presence of Christ. People from all over France, mostly southern France, would come and visit her. Many of the Protestants came to her and said, Marthe, should I join the Catholic Church? She was a prophet. She would pray and say, no. You're supposed to get your people ready for when the Lord brings us all back together. And then one little fellow went to her. He was a Calvinist preacher, deeply moved. He'd already had a vision of Our Lady, changed his ideas about that. And he went to her. He said, Mart, am I supposed to? And she said, yes, you go. And that was Ephraim Coisson, a good friend of mine, actually, who founded the Community of the Beatitudes. And they all experienced this. When that happened, the church in France, the Protestant dimension of the church, said, you see, that's what Rome is after. They just want to. After Mart had told all these people, don't do that. You're supposed to guide and bring your own people. It's not for now, you know. But she's someone who, you see, participated in the passion and had it here present on earth, like Padre Pio, for the life of the world. The reality of Jesus sacramentalized, humanized, made real in this person who founded these things called les foyers de charité, these groups all over the world now. She did all this from a sickbed. She couldn't even get out of bed, I guess. There's a law, you see. It's in the gym. Signs on the gym all over the place. No pain, no gain. Well, the gain is a few muscles, but this is more important. Right? And so, we are right now living in an age where the enormous transition is beginning to take place. 800 years, perhaps, certainly 300 or 400 years of deep infidelity in the whole Western world to Christ. So much so that even the Christians don't know anymore what a life is like that's dedicated to Jesus and given over to Him. You know, we think we're heroes if we get to Mass on Sunday. And the challenge, this whole other civilization, numbering as many as the Christians. How many are committed? Well, how many Christians are committed? But if you look, there's about 1 billion of us, you know, more. And between us, we make more than half the world's population. And if we go to war, it would be the end of the world. And at our little dialogue the other day, one of the lovely young men here in Washington said, you know, you say, you're talking about it is war. We're already in it. Truth to that. But the Lord is inviting us to rather undergo the pain of conversion and allow Him to come and let His face be seen and bring peace. He's coming back. Not to end the world, but in the hearts and minds of all those who will receive Him. So that in us, through us, in His church, His body, He is going to make the world safe again for God's people, God's children. But there's a law. There's a law inscribed in the very mystery of the incarnation. Huh? And that's what our Lord is talking about here. See, these are the birth pangs of the Messiah. But he's already come. He's already saved the world. That's right. Of course. But there's a mystery in all of history, isn't there? And so, among us right now, there are people, mostly hidden, well, at least the ones I know, except in Mont Aubin and that group, or Padre Pio, but hidden people who suffer a lot, gladly. I remember one of these people said to me one day, if this keeps up any longer, I'm going to quit. I can't take this anymore. Well, I saw her a month later. I said, well, how are you doing? She was fine then. I thought you said you're going to quit. I never said that. Oh, yes, you did. But you see, so we shouldn't be surprised if it's a struggle. See, it's not a struggle for self-improvement. It's a struggle for the life of the world. And we don't have to go looking for it. We have to obey Jesus day by day. That's all we've got to do. And give him whatever happens. The mystery of this reality, the Christ, you see, because it's not chronological only, where there's suffering and then there's joy. No, they're together. Saint Therese said in a letter quoted by the Pope, I forgot which Pope now. Anyway, she said, you know, Jesus on the cross was abandoned in darkness. At the same time, he was filled with bliss because he was doing the will of the Father and bringing about the salvation of the world. And nobody loves the people in this world like Jesus does. And she said, I understand now by experience how that can be. How you can be. She said, you know, last part of her life, everything in her but the deepest part of her spirit was convinced there's no God, there's no heaven, there's nothing. Why did she have to live through that? To sanctify the atheist experience that characterizes the Western world. To sanctify. But as that was going on, at the very depth of her spirit, there was bliss. Now, most of us may not be called to that depth, height, whatever. But the mystery is there in the gospel today for all of us to understand what's going on. This is not by accident. And the Lord is saying, give it to me. Whatever it is, give it to me. I can use it. The world needs it. And pray. Make sure you're doing the novena for the Pentecost. You know, at Pentecost, my body, which is suffering and in bliss at the same time throughout the whole world, will be blessed with a new presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. This liturgy is not a game. So pray. Pray that the whole world be profited by the fidelity of these Christians all over the place. Ourselves included. So that, as it says here, you see, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy away from you.